Joining us now, ESPN NASCAR's Bob Pockrass joins us. What's going on, Bob?
Just a little bit of trying to figure out who's going to be the champion in NASCAR this weekend down at Homestead, and wondering who's going to be driving next year since Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Matt Kenseth are done, and Danica Patrick just ran the Daytona 500 next year.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, this is a weekend of announcements. It always is in NASCAR. They get in as much as they can at this last event, sponsorships and stuff. It just seems to be one announcement after another. But yesterday's announcement with Danica got me thinking about a comparison to golf. I mean, last year it was Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart, and this year you've got Junior and Kenseth and Danica. You know, we've been looking to fill the Tiger void for a while. Does NASCAR have a similar problem right now with some of these stars going away? And so, like, who is William Byron? I mean, it's like, is it time for these young guys to rise up and become stars?
And got to throw Carl Edwards in there as a surprise in January, a January retirement even this year. The problem or the issue, the challenge that NASCAR has is that you'd say, you know, who's William Byron? He's only been racing for about 4 years, and he's going to be a Cup driver next year. And the fact is that all these drivers now run just national series more often than their local short tracks, so they don't build up a local fan base as much as maybe drivers in the past. So that's gonna be their challenge number one. And then their challenge number two is to, you know, resonate with fans either through social or kind of how they handle themselves. And sometimes you just kind of get thrown into it like Chase Elliott did earlier this year and actually in the last month with his battles with Denny Hamlin. That's kind of what gets people excited.
Well, I mean, is it poorly timed? I mean, you can't do anything about the timing of it, I suppose. That, you know, you had these guys, maybe they hung around. Some, you know, in golf, they hang around too long and the barrier to entry becomes too great. And it's hard to get, you know, sort of the equivalent of get your ride. But now NASCAR is struggling a little bit with its attendance and with interest and ratings and all that stuff. And now we're going to be asked as fans to embrace a whole new crop. Is it just a confluence of circumstance that NASCAR has the ability to come out of stronger if they do things right?
Yes, but, you know, I think the concern would be is that it's not like these drivers are retiring because of ability. I mean, some are.
Right.
Obviously, Dale Jr. has health concerns with the concussions, but Matt Kenseth wishes he had a full-time ride in NASCAR next year. Danica Patrick wishes she had a full-time ride in NASCAR next year. But the sponsorship and economic models right now don't help them. You know, it's cheaper to have younger drivers. A sponsor may be more willing to invest in a younger driver, not just for the immediate financial benefits of having to pay them less, but also the fact that you could be investing in them for 5 years or 10 years instead of just 2 or 3 years as you would be with a veteran.
Yeah, well, you know, and Mike made mention of some of the drivers' names. I mean, you got to think. I mean, Ryan Blaney, he's a wheelman. I mean, driving the 21, which, you know, it does get technical help, you know, but it's a single car team run by the Wood brothers. And, you know, he's won a race and he's been competitive and he almost made the final four. You know, William Byron, even though he's in the Xfinity series, he's beaten some of the NASCAR regulars down there driving great equipment. So some of these guys are actually wheelmen, and if we can continue to get these guys maybe winning some races, can they replace the old guard?
Well, I think the question is being a wheelman enough, right? I mean, Ryan Blaney, you talk about a guy who does a kind of a NSFW podcast for NASCAR and is out there on Snapchat after he wins showing the beer cans and his hash strewn all over his house from the party he had, and the question is, do they need to do those things to resonate with young fans? Will those things resonate with young fans? I don't know whether winning is going to be enough. You can win all you want, but I think the challenge will be connecting with the fans in an age of where NASCAR is still racing, you know, three and a half hour races. And many people don't pay attention to things that long anymore.
Yeah, Bob, before we turn our attention to this week's championship, I'm curious, where merchandise sales, you know, once dominated and was a huge revenue stream for all of these teams, it no longer is. I mean, that's just the reality. Does that make it less important to have a name, to have a star, because you're not trying to hawk T-shirts and diecasts and hats as much as you used to?
No, because you can't have a beer with a T-shirt, Mike. I mean, the whole way to become a star is to have fans want to have a beer with you, right? Like that's I think what NASCAR needs. NASCAR needs to have drivers who, you know, fans say like, man, I'd like to go sit at a bar with that guy. And so I think that's what they need. And you know, whether that sells a lot more T-shirts or not, I don't think is a huge deal as much as people just wanting to kind of hang, you know, wanting to hang out with these guys, want to have a reason to watch, why should they care? And the drivers have got to give them a reason to care, whether it's by what they do socially or maybe by the way they race, you know, and frankly, you know, rivalries as well.
Again, ESPN's NASCAR expert Bob Pockrush joins us. And Bob, getting to this weekend, we got four drivers battling for the championship, and we had a question earlier. What happens if, with 30 laps to go, there's a restart, and these guys are all running in a pack, and let's say that Denny Hamlin decides, you know what, this is a good time for me to get Chase back for running me into the wall last weekend. There's a wreck, and all four of those guys that get in it, and, you know, you see four wrecked race cars limping around on the apron for a couple of laps to see who can outlast the other guy. And potentially with 30 laps to go, the playoffs are over and there's a champion and he's sitting in the garage. I mean, how bad could this get?
It's certainly a possibility. If all four cars end up in a crash together and can't move, it goes back to where they were running on the previous lap. It obviously isn't something NASCAR would want. But, you know, in NASCAR's history, you know, before this point system, they had drivers who already, the championship was already decided, or a driver just needed to finish a certain place and clinch the title, and they were in the garage when they won. So it wouldn't be unprecedented, but look, that's not what this system, you know, the system is designed to try to avoid that. But, you know, look, you know, if Denny Hamlin wants to take out Chase Elliott and then collects the other four championship drivers, then I'd hate to be Denny Hamlin throughout 2018.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the unlikelihood of that happening. Just, you know, they do tend to get out of the way of the four guys competing for the championship. So should that happen, I don't think it'll be far away. Is that, I mean, how openly is that, I don't know, culturally, is that, I mean, does everybody sort of know that's we're going to kind of get out of their way?
Well, I think it just depends. You race people the way they race you, right? And, you know, and I look, when Tony Stewart was tracking down Carl Edwards, in 2011, it was like the parting of the seas, man. Everybody kind of got out of his way because they didn't want to mess with Tony, but also because Tony was a guy who, if you were faster than him, often would let you go by. And so, you know, he had a lot of favors coming to him in his account with other drivers, and they paid him back for, you know, in that way during that race by not really holding him up. So, you know, I think it depends on teammates. It depends on, again, you know, how much you either like a guy or how that guy is raced you throughout your career. But I think nobody wants to be the person to say, hey, you know, I influenced the championship, because those drivers know they could be in that same situation next year and they would hope for kind of the same attitude by the rest of the drivers.
All right, Bob, as an insider, rank these four guys for me then on sort of in the garage popularity or get out of the way ability. Rank these four guys for me in terms of how they are received or perceived by their competitors.
I would say Truex is clear number one.
Yeah.
I would say Kyle Busch probably number two, Kevin Harvick number three, and Brad Keselowski number four.
Interesting.
I was going to say, I thought they might have all been tied for second.
Yeah.
after Martin.
No, you know, I know Brad or Kyle Busch gets a bad rap, but I think a lot of people feel like that you know, people not named Brad Keselowski feel pretty good about the way he's raced them over the years.
All right, so Keselowski starting fifth, Harvick starting ninth, Busch starting third, Truex Jr. starting second. I've been saying all along that, you know, the way this was set up is, you know, with the points and the stage racing, Martin Truex pretty much had a pass all the way to the end. Now he's been running pretty good. Who's going to win this thing? I mean, these guys have all had some success in this track, and they've all had some failure at this track. Is this going to come down to, you know, what we saw a couple years ago, maybe with Kevin Harvick, is a pass with a couple laps to go, and it's decided there, or is it somebody going to get out in front and check out?
I think if anybody gets out in front and checks out, most likely be Martin Truex Jr. You know, he's been the dominant car all year. Kyle Busch at times has hung with him and beaten him. Kevin Harvick is surging, but Truex tested here. Granted, a test here isn't always the best indication of how well you'll be, but they've looked strong all weekend. There's no reason to doubt that they're going to have the best car. But the fact of the matter is, best car doesn't always win. And it can, you know, it all depends on how the cautions come out. And, you know, if a team like Keselowski is struggling like he has been in recent weeks, he'll probably try some pit strategy to put him off sequence with everybody else and hope the cautions fall his way. So it's going to be as much a game about strategy for those who aren't at the Truex level and possibly the Kyle Busch or Harvick level, and it's just going to come down to kind of feeling out where you are about the midway point in the race and if you can win it by dictating your strategy, or if you have to kind of go off course and, you know, kind of throw caution to the wind.
So of the bunch, I mean, and when you think about the storyline that would most help the sport right now and resonate, you know, farthest and widest, is it Martin Truex far and away the most likable, wanting to have a beer with guy because of the situation with the single car team and you know, the Denver and people put too much stock in that, but it still makes for an interesting story. And of course, everything that's gone on with he and Sherry, are they the most interesting story of the four?
You know, I think anytime you have three drivers who've won a championship and one driver who hasn't, and that driver who hasn't is a fairly popular driver, and he's a driver who not only in his first 10 years of cup racing managed, what, two or three wins and never had a multiple win season, I think that's somebody that people are going to root for. And you add the fact that he won two Xfinity titles with Dale Jr., and, you know, as part of that crowd, there's a lot of people rooting for Martin Truex Jr., and obviously that story resonates. You know, I think, you know, any of these others who, you know, if they win their second title, it, you know, not only does it put them on another pedestal, but then I think they kind of make themselves, you know, the new, you know, one of the new guys that, you know, that you're going to look at as far as in the top drivers, you know, in the history of the sport. And so I think there'll be people who will gravitate to that and look at that and say, wow, you know, this driver is a Hall of Famer, first ballot if they can win a second title.
Now, Bob, you know as well as I do that NASCAR wants Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski 1-2 with a restart with three laps to go and just let them try and kill each other, right?
I mean, right behind him to shove him around a little bit, right?
And then let Truex go right through the middle and win.
Yeah, you know, Harvick will just give Keselowski a little tap in the bumper and send him into Busch and then let those two fight, right?
Yeah, look at last year with the Edwards and Logano. You know, that was that's what this system is designed to be. You know, this is it's not fair. When you look at traditional racing and everything, one race showdown for the win, but that's what it's designed for, and NASCAR wants it to be a contact sport. They want drivers to put fenders to each other. They don't want them necessarily to wreck each other, but they do want them to rough each other up a little bit, and they want them to to be angry with each other. Look, you know, this is sports, and you know, we wouldn't be here if people didn't cry and fight and everything about it. Because you know, if they didn't care, why should we?
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, we look forward to a great weekend. The trucks decided last night, Xfinity today, Monster Energy Series tomorrow. So have fun out there.
All right. Thank you, guys.